Isn't it so great seeing what you guys pouring into Leap into Spring, our local and overseas mission, is doing? It's impacting churches that are spreading across Africa right now. So thank you for what you guys have done by pouring in. And I am extremely excited this morning to introduce one of our very own, Jonathan Achiriem, to preach with us this morning. Let's make him feel welcome, guys.
Set myself up. Hey. Good morning, C3 Fremantle.
Good morning, Jonathan. It's good.
Be a bit louder. That's more like it. So, firstly, I want to thank Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea for giving me the opportunity to come out here and preach today. And you know what? It's great to be part of a church that practices what it preaches, because 2 weeks ago, Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea preached about, Pastor Nigel preached and Wellard about encouraging others from the book of Acts, this term parakaleos. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're out there, Nigel, Andrea, Barry, out in Liberia, encouraging others and building God's house in another country. How great is that? Yeah? So it's good to be part of a church that practices what it preaches. Now, for those of you who do not know Jonathan, and my wife, Sheila Achiriem, we've been in C3 Frio for about 8 years, and about 2 years ago, we moved out to C3 Wellard to start an extension of the campus, and we still serve at C3 Wellard doing God's ministry, and it's a great church. For those of you who've been there, those of you who not, if you feel keen, come and check us out this evening. I've got a totally separate message to preach, so we're out in C3 Wellard as well, and it's good to be back in the home church, eh?
Yeah.
It's good to be back here in the home church to preach and share God's word, and I'm going to start this morning by asking you, when you think of God, right, what comes to your mind in one sentence or one word when you think of God? So let's ponder on that. When I pondered on this recently, when I thought about this, these were the only words that came to my mind. I am writing your story, Jonathan. Now, you need to understand why I said this. It's because of the season of life that I'm in at the moment. I just felt God saying to me, I am writing your story. Now, think about it. Wouldn't you like someone to write your story for you? Yeah? I mean, not often people are going to write a story about you. But then again, I think God is pretty interested to write our stories. So the title of my sermon this morning is My Real Time Biographer. Now, what do I mean by this, right? I'm going to explain the word. Biographer are authors who write an account of another person's life. So they write an account of someone else's life. An autobiographer are authors who write their own biography. They write their own story. So for me, I reckon Jesus is my real-time biographer. And when I say this, I say real-time. What I mean is, right here, right now, if you believe, God is writing your story. Now, doesn't it give you goosebumps just to think about that? The creator of the universe has your story being written down as we speak now. Yeah. So you need to grasp that concept. Yeah. You need to grasp that and think about it. God is writing your story in real time as we speak. So does that mean God is writing all our stories then? Yes, but only if you allow Jesus to come into your life, to submit fully to him and to acknowledge that you can't do life without him. Yeah. See, so often we try to write our own life story. We want to be the autobiographer. We want to make decisions for our lives, which is great. It's good to have a plan. It's good to have a purpose. But are we always involving God in all the decisions that we make in our lives? Yeah. Is God in the driving seat or is he in the passenger seat? So it all starts with us recognizing how much God loves us, and next, by involving God in every little detail in our lives. So I want to show you guys something here. I've got something in my pocket. Let's get it out. How many of you would like this $20 note? Let's see a show of hands. Only so few. There's a lot you can do with 20 bucks. Come on. Maybe I should have pulled out the 50 bucks then. The yellow note, hey? I see a few hands there. That's cool. I'm going to do something with this. How many of you would like it now, folded like this? Still got a show of hands. Awesome. Very good. Okay. I'm going to scrunch it up now like this. It's all scrunched up here. How many of you would like it now? Very good. Very good. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to do something radical. You may not have seen this in church before, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm going to put this $20 on the floor, and I'm going to scrunch it with my boots, okay? I'm going to pick this up, and I'm going to ask you, how many of you would like this note now, scrunched up with all the dirt and all that sort of stuff? You still want it? Yeah? No? Any takers? Anyway, I'm not going to give it away. This is just to illustrate a point. So why did I do this? Why did I crumple this note up? What is the point of it? See, no matter how many times I folded the note, how many times I crumpled this note, even after I stepped on it with all the dirt, some of you still wanted it, right? You still wanted it because it's still worth $20, isn't it? I'll tell you something, usually after church, right? After preaching especially, I get really hungry. So I reckon this 20 bucks is going to go into a nice juicy burger on a cappuccino strip in Frio. Yeah, some good burger joints there, yeah? So, probably getting a bit sidetracked, but the story is, the lesson is, no matter what I did to this note, it still holds a value and I can use it later, yeah? In the same way that the $20 held its value, I want you to know today that you hold your value as well. Yeah, no matter how many times life is going to tread on you, life is going to crumple you, life will scrunch you, life will squeeze you, you're always going to keep your value. And that spark within us, as Christians, we've got to believe that the spirit that exists within us, that spark that is within us, will never be taken away because you and I, we are children of God. Amen. So our value is not created by the clothes, our bank balance, or the job title we have, or our past. Yeah, we need to understand our value in Jesus Christ. So no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, the tough life that you've had, the hard moments that you could be going through right now, you know, I don't know your journey entirely, but you could be going through some difficult situations. You need to understand that God, our Heavenly Father, He knows your value no matter what. He knows exactly how much you mean to Him, and that's why Jesus wants to pull us back to Him. And that's why He wants us to live our best life in Him. Yes. Now, the Apostle Paul, he very clearly states this in Romans 8, 38 to 39. You can have that scripture up there. Romans 8, 38 to 39. He says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord." I say that again. Nothing can separate you and I from the love of God. Amen. Think about this. Amen. Give you a bit of a pause here. Think about this. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God. And when you grasp this concept and you speak the scripture into your life, you're going to start to feel that overwhelming love of God come into you. Yeah. So my first point I want to leave you with this morning is allow Jesus to be your real-time biographer. Allow Jesus to write your story. See, if you want God to be your real-time biographer, you've got to understand your value in Him first. And that's why I demonstrated that thing with the $20 note. Because nothing can separate you from the love of God. But it starts with, that's one thing, it starts with submission. It's an important word. You and I making that decision to say, "Hey, Jesus, I want you in my life. I need you in my life. And I'm going to do this journey with you. We need to understand that we have to allow God into our lives to write our story, to be our biographer. Yeah? Now, this brings me to a story of a guy by the name of Jeremiah. Not sure if you know about him, but Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a young guy who was called by God in the Old Testament to go to the people of Israel and tell them that they were sinning and that their time was running out and they had to turn from their evil ways. You see, God has a threshold as well, yeah? And he wanted to bring them back, so he needed to send his messenger to go out and speak to the people to let them know to come back to him. So one of those occasions when Jeremiah was waiting for a word from God, God actually told him to go to the potter's house. Arise and go to the potter's house and I will give you my word. Now back in the day, pottery was a big thing, especially clay pots. They used to store food like flour and oil in clay pots. And this day and age, of course, we have the Tupperware and all these other storage systems. But I'm sure some of you have been for those Tupperware parties, right? So, but they didn't have all that stuff. They had clay pots. Now, I'm just going to, if you look up to the screen, you get the AV team to play a short video about how the potter and the clay and how it's molded. So we just have a look up at the screen.
So God spoke to Jeremiah one day, and he said, go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, so I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he brought a work on a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. You know, sometimes that's how our lives feel. Something comes along in life and just totally messes up our life. I love the story of the potter and the clay, because he didn't stop there. So Jeremiah was watching the potter. So he made it again. I've seen good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah. And he said, cannot I do this with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God was speaking to an entire nation at that time. How they had wandered away and turned to idols, and their world was falling apart. Yet God was saying to them, if you just turn over yourself to me, I can remake you again, just like the potter. He was saying that to a whole nation. How much more could he say that to us as individuals? So let me ask you, could this clay ever fix itself? So why is it that we think that we can fix ourselves? Or that we have to fix ourselves or make things right before we come back to God? When in reality, we never really can fix ourselves, not really. And all God wants us to do is just turn the mess over to Him. Just turn it over to Him, and so that He can put things back together. Because see, He's a potter. He's really good at that.
So that's pretty good. That's that story is found in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, from verse 1 to 6 or 1 to 7. You can have a read of that this week in your devotion time. So just see how relevant God was back in the day. He uses the simple things in life to demonstrate a powerful message. So when the clay is placed in the potter's hand, only then he or she can start to do the work to shape the pot. So back to my first point again. You see, God simply cannot be the author of your story or the potter in your life if you do not submit your life to Him. Now, secondly, we need to get to know our real-time biographer. Get to know your real-time biographer. You need to know you need to know your biographer and trust him with the intimate details of your life. You're not just going to walk on the street and say to someone, "Good day, mate. Can you write my story?" He's going to be looking at you. What are you on? Yeah. So it has to be with someone who is a good writer, someone you trust and have a relationship with. You have to know this person well enough to tell him all about your life and to trust that they will do justice to your story. You don't want someone misrepresenting you. So how do we get to know our real-time biographer? How do we get to know about the person writing our story? Simply by reading about him, gathering all the information that you need to know about him, the Bible, the Word of God. I know this is kind of a small Bible, but small things come in big packages, yeah? So, it's interesting, yeah? The amount of time we spend gazing at our phones, if that same time was put into reading the Bible, I reckon all of us would be walking, talking Bible scholars. You agree with me? Yeah. I personally, I would say, and I admit myself, I have a tendency to stare at my phone sometimes, but, just imagine if you put that into reading your Bible, how awesome that would be, hey? So back to the story of the potter and the clay. Once the potter has got the clay, the potter has to add enough water in order to make it pliable and soft enough for her to be able to actually use it. So if she does not add enough water into the clay, there's no point. The clay will remain hard and rigid, and she can't produce any pottery out of it. So what do we pick up from this? What does the water represent? Now, water represents the Word of God, the Bible. And when we talk about water, you know, we know that humans need about, what is it here in my stats? Your body is approximately 60% water. We need water to survive. Your brain is 70% water up here, yeah? And your lungs are only 90% water as you breathe. So just like our physical bodies need water in order to be able to live and survive in this world, the same way the spirit within us needs God's word for nourishment, soup for the soul, I would say, yeah? God cannot even begin to mold or transform us in this life unless we are first willing to do our part by getting into his word, to try to read, to understand, and to find out things about the Bible as best as we can. The Bible says we are to grow in the knowledge of God. Now, the Holy Spirit, right, needs something to work with in order to get this growth process kicked into full gear. And that something is knowledge, and that knowledge can only be gained by reading the Bible. The book of 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies, you should long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation. So it says here that like newborn babies longing for milk, we should be nurtured, longing for the word so that you may be nurtured to grow in respect to salvation. So just as the potter cannot use the clay unless there's enough water added into it, God cannot start the process of molding you. So without question, if you really want God to mold you or shape you into the kind of person that he really wants you to become in this life, you need to spend time reading the word, trying to understand how this knowledge in this book can be used in your personal life and to walk with the Lord. So now we know we have to get the Word of God in our lives, right? We know about it. But do you ever feel like, you know, reading the Bible sometimes can be a bit of a chore? You're reading about people that are not relevant to you in the Old Testament and things like that. So what's this about? Or maybe we still have our quiet time or devotional time or whatever we call it, but out of guilt because we're afraid if we don't do it, you sort of feel guilty. But are we really actually having that connection with God when we read the Word? See, deep down inside, we're desperately trying to connect with our Creator, and He wants to connect with us as well. God wants to connect with us. But figuring how to do this sometimes can be quite difficult, yeah? After all, God is God. He's this huge, mysterious, invisible God, yeah? He's everywhere, yet He's invisible. It's not like you're going to a cafe and sitting down with someone and connecting with them. That is totally different. And God wants us to come and spend time with Him. So how do we reach out to the invisible God? The answer is simple enough. It's so simple. We make it a habit. We make it a habit. Now, there are two things I do whenever I leave my home. Whenever I leave the house to go out somewhere, I have to wear my watch and I have to wear my wedding ring. Because when I go home, I usually remove both the items. And the wedding ring, this is a big one, because if I don't wear this, I'm going to get trouble with the boss sitting right in front there. She'll be like, you better get that ring on finger before you leave the doorstep. So, so now these things have become instinctive for me. It's like, you know, it's simple. Before I step out of the house, I got to put these two items on and go out. So my brain will automatically get me to do this before I leave the house. So that's the trick. Reading the word or feeding ourselves must be such an important habit in our lives that we have to get to a stage where we instinctively do it. Instinctively. Automatically, you need to feel like something's not right today. Something's wrong if I've not read the word of God. And some of the ways we can get the word of God into our lives, intentionally schedule it down, right? When we have important meetings or appointments, we write it down in our diary, we schedule it down. Why don't you schedule your prayer and reading time into your phone? How about that? You know, we get an alarm when we wake up in the morning, go for work. Why don't we set an alarm on our phones for prayer time? So do it today, this morning after church when you step out. Think about the time of day that you can allocate to God. Put that alarm on your phone and see. Be intentional about it. Don't you think an appointment with God is as important as an appointment with anyone else? Yeah, we use our phones for so many things. This is one small way you can use it. There are other ways as well to get the word of God in our lives. This day and age of technology, I mean, you talk about it, the applications available, our tablets, you know, to access devotionals, there are podcasts. There's so many intuitive ways that we can get the word of God in our lives to feed us. Okay, so if you're not a big reader, you don't like to read, and you're like, oh no, now I've got to lock myself up in a room for 1 hour and read the Bible, what's that about? Well, you can find other ways and means you can get God's word into you effectively. There are things like the audio Bible, there are podcasts, sermons you can listen to. You can play in your car on the way to work. You can play it on your phones while you're commuting on the train. We need to get creative with how we feed ourselves. If we're going to have this mindset of just sitting down and reading the Bible, sometimes that could be a bit hard. So there are various ways and means that we can use to be creative in how we feed ourselves with God's word. Now, another important thing I think is so important is by being regular in church every Sunday and being regular in the same church. Yeah, we have been doing a series on the book of Acts. How good was that? For those of you who have been coming, how much have you picked up from the book of Acts? So good. Last year, we did a series on the book of Ephesians. Personally, I've gained a lot myself, reading and studying the word, preaching it last year, and also attending the service and listening to it. So by only being regular and going to the same church that has sound teaching, then you are going to grow from the word of God. By being part of a connect group, the word of God is also being taught at connect group, you know. And so if you are interested, if you're not plugged into a connect group, see Pastor Emma. She'll be able to hook you up. There's some free marketing for you, Emma. So connect groups, so important. Yeah. Not sure where to start? Where do I start in the Bible? Where? Start with the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms, right? So 5 months of devotional material. Then you go on to Proverbs after Psalms. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So 150 plus 31, 181. I've just given you guys a 6-month reading plan, yeah, to get the word of God in your system. Read, pray to God, and see what the author of your life story is trying to tell you. You see, we've got all these tools at our disposal. We have all these things at our disposal. The question is, how effectively are we using them to get the word of God in us? Yeah. Thirdly, your real-time biographer takes his time to write your story. Now, I'm sure you guys would agree with me. The world we live in today is an instant world, isn't it? Yeah. We live in an instant society, a society that's everything quicker and faster. Now, it could be to our advantage sometimes, having technology at the palm of your hands and being able to do so many things. But again, it could be to our disadvantage. There are so many fast food restaurants popping up everywhere. Don't get me wrong, I use a drive-thru sometimes because I've got three boys. And on Tuesdays after swimming lessons, right, they're really hungry and they're at the back of the car and they're like, I'm hungry and what can we eat? And I'll be like, I'll relent. Okay, I'm going to go to the drive-thru and I'm going to get you Macca's or Hungry Jack's this evening. But wouldn't it be nice sometimes just to go to a restaurant and spend quality time with the person, yeah? And even if you do that, you go out to a restaurant, sometimes people are on their phones. So for all you young couples dating out there, right, put your phones away, some word of advice. Unless you're taking selfies and things like that, that's good to post on Instagram. I reckon that's not too bad. But besides that, do not use your phone while you're having a date. Not good. Or leave your phones at home. Now, I also heard from a friend that during their family gatherings, right, what they do is they have a little basket in front door and everyone pops their phones as they enter the house. As they come in, they put their phones in so that they can spend quality time together. People are trying things out, you know, to be intentional about spending quality time and having that relationship. Nowadays, we can't seem to wait until we can afford something as well. We just whip up a charge card and there you have it, instant plastic money that allows you to live way beyond your means and obtain things that you normally have to wait for. I'm not saying the credit card is bad, it's how you use it. How you use your credit card, instantly, boom, there you go. I want this, 60, 70-inch plasma TV, but, you know, you use a credit card, you get it, and then you're going to be paying the price for the next 12 or 18 months. So, in some parts of the world, did you guys know that funeral homes are now starting to build drive-by viewing windows? So you don't even have to get out of your car to pay your respects to a friend or a loved one that has passed away. Now, this has been going on for about 3-4 years in some parts of the world. I'm not going to tell you which country it is. I think you can figure it out, take a guess. But imagine that for convenience and efficiency. A person need not waste time. You don't need to waste time wearing your black tuxedo or whatever and going for a funeral. You just rock up in the morning. You don't even need to brush your teeth, I think. You just hop in the car and then just drive by. Drive by funeral parlors. What has the world come to, hey? What about churches? What next for churches? Drive-through churches? You drive through the automated teller and you receive your communion. And then you just drive by and pick your Sunday sermon on USB or CD-ROM or whatever it is. And then you drive to the next window and you just proceed on your way with a total investment time of possibly 10 to 15 minutes. How good is that? Sunday church in 10 to 15 minutes. I'm telling you, someone is already thinking about it, so you better watch that space. See, what I'm trying to get at and what I need you to understand is that how the world has changed so fast in a short period of time. Yeah. And our expectation of God is that God needs to be an instant God. I pray for something today. I expect an answer today. It just simply doesn't work that way. Watching Aladdin with the kids yesterday, they had it on Channel 7 or something. And just a genie in a lamp, come out and give you 3 wishes. Boom, there you have it, whatever you want. But sad to say, God doesn't work that way. We got to be realistic about our expectation of God. Now, we saw earlier in the video how slow and steady the electric wheel was turning as the potter was using her hands to mold that pot, to get that lump of clay to the pot that she wanted to make. Now, the wheel has to turn at a slow and steady pace. If the speed was faster, or the wheel moved at a faster degree, the lump of clay will tear completely apart. So in the same way, we have to have patience with the Lord on how He wants to work and build our lives up in Him. In our fast-paced, self-centered world, we are used to instant everything, like I said earlier. But in God's realm, He usually works things out in much slower time frame than we are used to. And if we do not learn how to go with his slower flows and time frames, I'm sorry, but we're going to be ending up being very frustrated and being very impatient, and then eventually we're going to lose our peace and joy in God. 2 Peter 3:9 is my next scripture. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." The Lord is not slack in his promise, as some count slackness. How powerful is that? Yeah. The word of God is true. When you speak life into this word, you're going to be encouraged. The word of God is not slack, and he's long-suffering towards us. It takes time. And as you pray, and as you break through walls, and as you break through barriers, God is there. God is already working things out in the supernatural. So just as a good potter has to take time when molding and forming out this piece of pottery on the wheel, in the same way God takes his time to mold, to shape, and transform all of us in a slow and steady manner. See, one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is patience. Such an important thing. We all need the patience of the Holy Spirit operating in us to help keep us in God's timing, to sink us in God's timing and how he wants to work things out in our lives, especially in this fast-paced world that we live in. Fourthly, fourth point, your real-time biographer transforms your story. Now, once the potter has the lump of clay properly centered in the middle of the wheel and the water has been added to it, then the actual molding process starts. So we spoke about the water earlier. Now, what the potter does first with the lump of clay as it is spinning on the wheel is to take her hands and push it down. If you noticed, she was pushing it down at the center, at the top of the clay, to create an opening in it. Now, once this opening has been made at the top of the clay, the hand then goes down deep inside the middle of clay as it is forming the pot. Yeah? Then she uses her hand to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up during the spinning process on the wheel. So the potter's hands are working on both the inside and the outside to mold that piece of clay, to shape, to transform it in the pot that she wanted it to be, that she wanted as it continues to spin on that wheel. Her hands are literally making and forming all of this out of an original shapeless lump of clay. Now, the potter cannot make the clay unless her hands go down deep inside in the middle of that pot that is forming out. So in the same way, right, God's own hand literally goes down deep into the middle of our souls and spirits where the true work is actually done. The true work of God happens in here, right down, deep down inside of you. And to mold us and transform us who he wants us to become in him. But he needs our full cooperation in order to be able to get that deep, to get into the soul-searching stuff inside of you. Now, since God is doing the actual supernatural work inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times. Anybody been there before? Anybody there now? Painful and unpleasant times. Because God is trying to remove all the bad and negative qualities that we have that he would not want us operating in our personalities, right? And at the same time, as he removes all that stuff, he's instilling and imparting all the good, positive, and godly qualities that he will want us to have. So Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." God wants to create a clean heart within us and renew a steadfast spirit in us. So the potter also has to apply a good amount of pressure. If you notice the video, she had to apply a good amount of pressure with her hands as she was molding and shaping that lump of clay. In the same way, sometimes God has to apply some serious pressure on us from time to time in order to get us to change, to become like Him and understand Him more. So toxic qualities that we have sometimes are pride, arrogance, bad tempers, lust. And when we start to release of this, it can be very painful because these are things of the flesh. And our flesh wants to keep us operating in all these negative qualities, but God wants to remove them from our lives. So we need to allow God to do His inner work through us, through the Holy Spirit, and then eventually we can be molded and shaped into the godly person that He's calling you and I to become. And then we start to see the true joy, the happiness, and the fulfillment of the calling of Jesus Christ in our lives. And lastly, I'm just going to go to the last point and get the keys to come up. Your real-time biographer always has his eyes on you. See, a biographer who writes your story, they want to gather as much information about you, and some of them even watch you, learning about you and always keeping their focus on your life to give you the best account, to give the best account of your story. So likewise, the potter's eyes are always on the clay once she starts to work with it. If she takes her eyes and attention off the pot as she is shaping and molding it, she could make a big mistake and damage the pot in the process. So it takes a lot of concentration as the potter is molding that clay. She has to be focused. She has to be looking at what she's doing at all times as she shapes it up, as she turns that pot into what she wants it to be. But you know what? The potter is human. The potter could make a mistake. But you know what? We serve a God who is not human. He is supernatural. We serve a supernatural God. We need to get that into our heads. A supernatural God. And when we come into full surrender with God, He will never take His eyes, neither will He take His attention off you. You will have His complete and undivided attention since He's omnipresent. When I say omnipresent, that means that God is present everywhere at the same time. Don't ask me how God does that, but that's just the way He works. That's the way God operates. Yeah. He does the unimaginable. We go on to Genesis chapter 28, 15. God says here, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised with you. I am with you and will watch over you wherever we go. Everything that I preach today has been backed up by a word of scripture straight from the Bible. You know, this is the truth. This is the truth of God. See, God obviously has His eyes on everyone since He's omnipresent. But until you come into a full surrender, until you fully give up your lives to God, He was not going to start the work to build you up in the direction that He will want you to go into. So what this means is that you can fully trust God to complete the work that He has begun in you until the very end. As a result, you're going to have a life of fulfillment and knowing that you have lived your best life in Him. Yeah? I want to ask you, church, today to allow God, allow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be our real-time biographer. Surrender your lives to Him, submit to Him, and allow Him to write your story right here, right now, today. I'm going to get you guys to stand up as we go into a time of prayer. Church, I just wanted to take your hand and put it on your chest, on your heart. Yeah? This is where the soul-searching stuff is right here on your heart. And we're going to pray this together. As you repeat after me. Father God, we come before you today. I ask you, Lord, to be my real-time biographer. I ask you, Jesus, to write my story. I surrender, God, my life to you 110%. I give it all to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to work within me, to shape me, to form me, to mold me, to break me into the person that you want me to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. We keep praying. Father God, I just thank you for C3 Fremantle. I thank you for everyone gathered here this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray that this word will reach into the hearts, O Lord Father, and that space will be created within, O Lord Father, because people have come, O Lord Jesus, to receive your word. And all we have to do is say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, to receive your word, Lord Father. And I pray that the word of God will penetrate, will break down walls, O Lord Jesus, will loosen shackles this morning, O Lord Father, and people will get to experience you in a big way, Lord Father. I thank you for this church. I thank you for C3 Free, O Lord Father. And I just pray, Lord Father, that your providence and your blessing will continue to bear forth in this church, Lord Father, and that great leaders and great people will rise up of here, Lord Jesus, and that salvation will continue to return to this house, Lord Father, each Sunday, Lord Father, in and out, Lord Jesus, of your place of worship. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time. I thank you for this morning, oh Lord Jesus. And people of God say, amen. Thank you.